We have a returning guest with us today, a guest who is so prolific in what she does that we have a lot of difficulty keeping up with her. Welcome, flutist Mimi Stillman, back to Crossover.
Thank you so much, Jill. It is always a pleasure to be on your show with you and, of course, to be just listening to your show.
Thank you very much. Well, we can't keep up with you and the Dolce Suono Ensemble, which is a wonderful, wonderful group. You have so many things and so many varieties of combinations that perhaps you'll explain to the audience who doesn't know who you are or perhaps has never had the pleasure of hearing you just exactly what it is. Aside from the fact that you are a fine, fine solo flutist and recitalist, you have this ensemble. So tell us a little bit about it.
Thank you. Yes, well, I'm a flutist and a Yamaha performing artist and divide my time among a lot of really rewarding musical activities and feel very fortunate to do that, performing as soloist with orchestra and recitals. And I just got back from several days in Virginia doing a recital with my duo pianist, Charles Abramovic, and we've been playing together for 10 years and have performed on Crossover on your show.
Yes.
For you. And in 2005, I founded Dolce Suono Ensemble, of which I'm artistic director. And for me, having grown up since age 12 in Philadelphia, I was 12 when the legendary flutist Julius Baker brought me to study with him at the Curtis Institute of Music, I feel lucky to have grown up performing for Philadelphia audiences and to have made lifelong musical friends and collaborators. So the artists of Dolce Suono Ensemble are, most of us, friends from days at the Curtis Institute of Music. Many are members of the Philadelphia Orchestra. And we perform chamber music concerts on our own home series in Philadelphia. And we also tour and record and commission new works, as well as perform works from the standard repertoire. We're giving 21 premieres in our first 6 seasons, keeping us busy with the new music. And also we do outreach in Philadelphia public schools as part of Dolce Suono Ensemble activities.
You know, what's rather interesting about you, Mimi, of course, she is a musician, and of course, that's what she does, but you also have an MA in history from the University of Pennsylvania. Now, where does that come in, aside from researching the works that you want to play? I mean, that's a very interesting aspect of where you got your master's. I mean, in other words, you had already become a musician. You had your degree, of course, probably in music undergrad. So why history?
I think music and history for me in my life are a very enriching marriage because the history work that I do, the research and the writing, feed into the music making, both for programming, program note writing, and I'm a published author, having written entries for the Oxford Encyclopedia of the Modern World on world music.
Wonderful.
And other writing. And so it's very enlightening to plan projects with this eye toward the context of where the music came from.
But did you plan that when you went for your MA? Did you know did you say, oh, it would be interesting to get it in music history? But
well, I've always loved studying history and studying the humanities in general, and my parents are authors of foreign language learning materials
as well as
professors, and have had history and literature in our house from the time I was born. And so it was kind of a natural fit for me that, having graduated Curtis with my bachelor's in music when I was 17, and that was the same year I won Young Concert Artists, I was just performing full-time as a soloist, chamber musician, masterclass teacher, and loving the music, but also wanting to keep learning.
But you had no time. I mean, this was really a full plate that you had. And also, I must say, although I find a lot of musicians, as they get older and they become, you know, professional, they have other interests. But essentially, when they're studying, that's it. And they're very not interested in other things. I'm sure I'll get some flack on that. However, that is the case. They do develop later. And that's why I'm asking you, it's an unusual major for you to go into when you're performing full time. I mean, you were in the throes of developing a career as well.
Yes. See, for me, I think I've known from the time I was a child that music is my primary overriding passion, and I wanted to make it my life's work, but not to the exclusion of everything else.
That's a very healthy attitude, too.
Well, thank you. So I took my time getting a master's in history at the University of Pennsylvania, and then I loved learning so much that I continued, and I'm actually ABD, all but dissertation on the PhD.
Wow.
Also, and really love the research and writing. It informs our programming and our projects for Dolce Suono Ensemble, and it also very much informs the commissioning type projects.
I would think so. Well, of course you have, and we should really get on with that, because you have quite a schedule of events. You are now. The big one is the Mahler-Schoenberg project. Is that right? Is that the current one?
Yes, we are so excited to be launching Dolce Suono Ensemble's Mahler 100 Schoenberg 60 project with concerts May 11th and 15th. This project marks the centennial of Gustav Mahler's death in 1911 and the 60th anniversary of the death of Arnold Schoenberg in 1951. And it spans this season and also the next season, 2011-12. And our concerts will include music of the two iconic composers, Mahler and Schoenberg, along with six world premieres by a distinguished roster of composers that we commissioned.
You must have had to do an enormous amount of research in terms of speaking with the composers and asking them about the influence of Mahler and Schoenberg. Is that the way you went about this?
For me, it was just a dream to be living with Mahler and Schoenberg in the year and a half to 2 years we've been planning the project, because frankly, do I and all the other artists in Dolce Suono Ensemble love these composers and their music, but they're just so important and influential for everything that came after. So we had fascinating conversations with each commissioned composer about the precise way in which he or she reflects on, say, Mahler or Schoenberg, and the ways in which we wanted in their commissioned work to show this influence and to really take it in a very personal direction for each composer.
Now, how did you put that together? What was the thought behind that?
It was just this idea that Mahler and Schoenberg are composers whose music has resonance today and are a kind of fertile source of musical inspiration for composers now to reflect on.
So that for contemporary composers, you felt that this was a kind of a reference for them in their work?
Very much so. In talking with Pulitzer Prize winner Stephen Stuckey and Grammy Award winner Stephen Mackey, also Pulitzer Prize winner Shulamit Ron, thinking about how Mahler and Schoenberg have influenced their life and work, and then asking them musically to reflect on these composers. So our roster of composers spans these three very established ones, also rising star younger emerging composers Fong Mon, David Ludwig, and Stratis Minakakis, who are already developing really important commissions and premieres. And
so this is, again, a wonderful source for new music as well. And again, mirroring the older composers or the works of older composers. So here we go again. As listeners, we are getting an education aside from having a delightful experience listening to the music.
Well, thank you. See, for me as a flutist, especially with a smaller repertoire than violin and piano have for solo and chamber works, it's really rewarding to build my own repertoire, but just really for all of us as chamber musicians. I mean, we have the thrill of working with composers and premiering new works, but then the idea is that they are there forever for other artists to play and to really increase the chamber repertoire for everyone.
Where does Piero Lunaire fit in? That was really an iconoclastic work.
We will be performing Schoenberg's Piero Lunaire in 2012 as part of our Mahler 100 Schoenberg 60 project. And we are thrilled that soprano Lucy Shelton is going to be singing that with us. And it's a signature role for her. Also, she's going to be premiering our commissioned work by composer Shulamit Ron, which is for soprano, flute, cello, piano, for my Dolce Suono trio with cellist Yumi Kendall and pianist Charles Abramovic.
Yeah, that's going to be something. I don't know how often that is performed, but it is really quite a work, that Piero Lunaire, and probably a milestone in contemporary music, would you say?
Very much so. It was kind of genre-defining. Yes. After Schoenberg, many other composers have written for that same combination that became known eponymously as Pierrot Ensemble.
Is that what it is? That's very interesting.
Yeah.
But it's a rather shocking work. It really is, even today, I think.
Well, Stephen Mackey, who we commissioned to write for this ensemble for these concerts in May, plus bass baritone Eric Owens, he said that this combination, it's so small. It's flute, clarinet, violin, cello, piano, and we've added percussion, which is also common today, for this grouping, but that the ensemble can be very economical in its, intimacy, but it can also evoke such a wide range of colors that it's kind of also potentially very, very rich musically.
It evokes more than color, I think. It's quite a shattering work. I mean, when you listen to it, and I'm sure that's going to be a happening here. So that's going to be in your second year.
That's in the second season.
Right, the second season.
Yes.
So tell us now, Eric Owens will be performing as a guest soloist. Is that right?
Yes, we are absolutely delighted that Eric Owens, who's my buddy from our mutual days at Curtis, we were fellow students at Curtis Institute of Music together, is joining us in May for our Mahler 100 Schoenberg 60 concerts. And of course, he's singing with the Metropolitan Opera and all around the world. And one of the works he's singing with us is Mahler's Lieder eines fahrenden Gesellen, the Songs of a Wayfarer.
Oh, that's a marvelous work.
And we're doing it in Schoenberg chamber version for ensemble, so it's really a perfect combination of both of our project composers plus a signature piece for Eric. And Eric was just telling me by phone yesterday he's about to come to town for rehearsals. He loves the commissioned works by composers Stephen Stuckey, Stephen Mackey, Fang Mon, and David Ludwig that he's going to be singing with us. So we're all very excited to be preparing for the premieres of those pieces.
Are some of these works more accessible to a non-schooled musical ear?
I think so. I think part of my goal in commissioning 5 new works for the same concert was to provide a wide range of styles, from the more, say, neo-romantic genre to the European avant-garde influenced, to really a kind of aesthetic variety. Part of the idea in commissioning 5 new works for these concerts in May was to provide great stylistic variety in the aesthetics of the composers themselves. And just with this whole idea that Mahler and Schoenberg are composers with resonance today in terms of the inspiration that they provide for these composers, it'll be fascinating to see just the variety of what comes out.
Yes, because actually, in terms of their style of music, certainly Mahler was tonal, you know, and of course Schoenberg was experimental in many, many ways. But again, I think Schoenberg's early works, some of them are rather romantic in a sense.
Yes, very much so. And we commissioned each composer who was writing a song for Eric Owens plus our Dolce Suono ensemble to work with a text that was important to Mahler, to really make a very tight connection in this project between the new works and the original works by Mahler. So Stephen Stuckey set a poem by Ruckert in keeping with Mahler's famous Ruckertlieder. Stephen Mackey, we asked him to set a Mahler letter to hear the words of Gustav Mahler himself. And the text that he ended up setting was a letter from Mahler to his manager, Herr Gutmann, where Mahler is very angry that a rehearsal is being taken away from their project. And so actually we interviewed Steve Mackey about this. He sends his regards to you, Jill,
thank
and
you,
the show.
Thank you.
And it's actually posted on our blog, so listeners can visit our blog to go look at our videos with the composers talking about their works.
So what is the blog now? You have a website?
Yes. It's linked right from our homepage, which is dolcesuono.com, dolcesuono.com.
Sweet sounds, of
yes.
course, that's what they are. Now, the other thing that really impressed me, you have an enormous biography here, and also all the things that you're doing. It's difficult to keep up with because you have sections of things that you're doing. However, one of them was you did something with Placido Domingo when he was still affiliated with the Washington National Opera, the D.C. National Opera, which I don't believe he's affiliated with anymore. Is that right?
He's stepping down as director at the end of this season.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But when I met him 2 years ago, he invited Dolce Suono Ensemble to enter into a collaboration with singers from the Domingo K. Fritz Young Artist Program at Washington National Opera. So this season, Maestro Domingo sent us soprano Jaegyeon Young, and we collaborated with her in a program including Baroque music by Bach, Handel. There was some Mozart that we did with her, and we're looking forward to performing with Maestro Domingo's singers in Washington in the fall.
Richard Danielpour, who really made a splash here some years back as a emerging composer, you told me a fascinating story about him.
Yes, we commissioned him to write a trio for my Dolce Suono trio, in which I play flute. Yumi Kendall's the cellist and Charles Abramovic is the pianist. And in talking with Richard, he decided to make the work a reflection on his own Persian Jewish heritage. He is American, but his parents come from Iran, and his family stretches back in Iran to the Babylonian captivity of the Jews. So he has this extremely personal history that he put into the work, and he said it was the first time he's really writing about his own personal history in this way. And then when he was writing the work for us in summer of 2009, the Iranian people were demonstrating for their freedom against the very oppressive Iranian regime. And this is when one of the people who was murdered by the government was the young woman, Neda Sultan, and her death bleeding in the streets of Tehran was captured on video.
Yes, I think it was all over. It was just shocking.
Yes, and Richard watching the death of this young woman decided that this is going to be the subject of the work. The work is called Remembering Neda, Trio for Flute, Cello, and Piano. And performing it is just a really unusually moving experience. It has such an important emotional, humanitarian content as a work. And we premiered it in Philadelphia this past season, also performed it in New York City and on concert tour, and are very honored to have this in the repertoire and to be performing it and to be recording it.
It's in Lamentation, is that right?
Yes, I thought I would share with your listeners the first movement of the work.
Yeah, this was a picture I think no one could get out of their minds. And
I think Richard has done a very important thing
quite a
for the world
quite
in doing this. Yes.
Now, Mimi, you have another composer whom you're featuring as well, at least her work, Fang Man. Tell us a little bit about her and her works.
Composer Fang Man is Chinese. She received her PhD from Cornell University, and she is a professor at Baldwin Wallace Conservatory in Cleveland. Her music is very colorful and atmospheric. There's some influences from her work in France at IRCOM, and she's known for electronics as well as standard music composition. And also, there's some deep influences in some of her works from traditional Chinese music.
So how do you translate that into your ensembles?
Fang Man, known as Mandy, will be setting a Chinese poem, one of the same poems that Gustav Mahler set in his Das Lied von der Erde. So while he set them in German translation, she set her poem in the original Chinese. So it's a very close connection in terms of the meaning with the Mahler, but the linguistic nature of her work is very interesting.
So this is noir, which is black, actually.
Yes, this work is noir, and it's an orchestral work, and it actually shows a lot of the emphasis on interesting color and timbre and combinations of instruments that she creates in her music.
Okay. You have a gorgeous work, the Chanson Madicasse by Maurice Ravel. Tell us a little bit about that one. And
yes.
Randall Scarlatta, who is a fabulous baritone.
Well, my ensemble loves working with Randy. He's a great friend as well as being a just beautiful singer. And actually, Randy and I won Young Concert Artists competition the same year. So we go way back to 1999. This is from a live performance by my Dolce Suono trio. So it's Yumi Kendall, cellist, and Charlie Abramovic, piano, and me, and Randy. So, Ravel's Chanson Medecas is a classic work in the repertoire for our Dolce Suono Trio combination with a voice, and it's extremely lush and filled with tone colors because it's Ravel's evocation of Madagascar. So there's the whole exoticism going on.
So, as for you, you also have a schedule of recitals that you will be playing. Is that right, Mimi? Or have you been doing that throughout?
Yes. My engagements this year have included recitals in Virginia. I just recently got back from there, teaching for Yamaha Music for All Festival in Indianapolis, upcoming solo and chamber engagements for Princeton University. My Dolce Suono Trio was at Bard College, New York Flute Club, and performing at Kingston Chamber Music Festival in the summer as well.
Which is a very beautiful one, I understand. As well.
Yes, and it's run by my friend from Curtis, the great pianist Natalie Ju, so we're very excited about that. And I'm soloing with some orchestras coming up, Delaware County Symphony with Jeremy Gill in Shulamit Ron's Voices Concerto, also Spartanburg Philharmonic with Sarah Ioannidis. We're deciding the program for next season right now. So I'm very excited about all the different performances.
And, of course, you know that Mimi never sleeps, right?
Thanks, Joe. Well, I guess we all need to sleep, right, in order to make music.
I think it's an amazing thing because you're in so many different places. Now, you also have done a CD, is that right, the group?
Yes, actually, we're getting ready to release within a few months a new CD with me and my duo pianist Charles Abramovic. So Innova Label will be releasing our CD. It's a 2-CD set called Odyssey, 11 American Premieres. And so we're doing first time recordings of 11 works, most written for me or us as a duo. And I'm very delighted to be launching them to the music public.
Well, Mimi, we could go on and on forever. All I can say is we wish you luck in your never-ending search for entertaining the audiences with exciting and unique programming, I would say, certainly.
Well, thank you, Jill, and thank you for all you do to bring music out to the public.
Well, thank you so much. It's our pleasure.
Thank you.